We're going through Numbers, and if you've been with me throughout the study or for the last hour of this study, we got to Numbers about chapter 13, 14, where the children of Israel were ordered to send spies into the land of Canaan, and they came back with a bad report, and of course the majority went along with the bad report and did not believe, and now judgment is coming down that everyone from 20 years upward that murmured against the Heavenly Father and his desire for the children of Israel to go and take the land of Canaan, because he would fight for them, he would remove the defenses of the people, and this was the speech they got from Caleb and Joshua, and the people wanted to pick up stones to stone them, and the Heavenly Father, his anger was kindled against the people, and he says, "The 10 times you have tempted me." And so this is the 10th time, according to his counting, that they tempted him. And he's now pronouncing the judgment on them. He says in chapter 14, verse 27, "How long shall I bear with this evil congregation?" And the word congregation is apt there. This is the congregation in the wilderness, the ecclesia. And of course, this is the mortal kingdom of God as opposed to the eternal kingdom of God. Certainly there were members of his eternal ecclesia present. We have Moses and Caleb and Joshua at least, and I'm sure there are probably hundreds there. But the majority, being that this was the mortal kingdom, that not everyone in there was of the kingdom of faith or of the seed of faith, you have the majority, as with any majority of any kingdom or any mortal kingdom on earth, as it's demonstrated here, will always fall into error, will always believe the bad report. That's why I have no hope for any of these mortal kingdoms out here, and I pledge allegiance to none of them. I will only pledge allegiance to the King of Kings and to his kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And so we have a holy nation today as opposed to this mortal nation. And this holy nation has traversed time and borders throughout all history. And it began with Adam and Eve, who repented from their sin and looked forward to the redemption, the promised redemption that our Heavenly Father promised them. And so we're of that same ecclesia today, those of us who have entered into and now sit in heavenly places in Yahushua, his Messiah. So he says to the children of Israel here, all those who are not of the seed of faith, he says, "Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness." And he tells us, he says to Moses, he said, "As you have spoken in my ear, so I will do to you. You shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. Doubtless you shall not come into the land, concerning which I swore to make you dwell therein." So what he's doing is pretty much he's eradicating everyone who is not of faith, and all of the people that lived in Egypt. And you've heard the saying, if you haven't heard it, you're going to hear it now, you can take the slave out of Egypt, but you can't take Egypt out of the slave. Much more difficult thing, because you notice that they always cry, "Let us make a captain to take us back into Egypt." Yeah, they would really be welcome there, wouldn't they? After Yahuwah destroyed the entire Egyptian army, after all those plagues, what are these people thinking? You know, talk about, you know, faulty thinking. And, well, that's the way the majority goes. And he says, "Doubtless you shall not come into the land concerning which I swore to make you dwell in there, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun, but your little ones, which you said should be a prey, them I will bring in, and they shall know the land which you have despised. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in this wilderness, and your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. So that entire generation from 20 years upward is going to die. And you know, the shame is that along with the unfaithful, the faithful are punished too with the national sin. And so we see it today. That's the way it will always be. I live in a land that is increasingly becoming more and more of a police state. More and more freedom and liberty are being taken away from the people continually. And it's not because of me. I'm going in the other direction. I'm not bringing this about, but it is being brought about by the unfaithful out there, by those disobedient, the children of disobedience. Because when people disobey the Heavenly Father, when a nation moves away from His ways and embraces disobedience and the way of ungodliness and heathen religion and practices and idolatry, well, and they throw off His law and His government, well, then the tyrants begin to reign. And that's the way it was. That's the way it always will be. So the rain falls on the just and the unjust alike. So here we are. But, you know, this life is short, but eternity is forever. So we have a lot of good to look forward to in the resurrection, because the resurrection will be forever. This life is short. Your little ones, which you said would be a prey, them I will bring in. They will know the land which you have despised. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in this wilderness. And your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. And the number of the days in which you search the land, even 40 days, each day for a year, shall you bear your iniquities. 40 years, you shall know my breach of promise. So he says, I'm not going to breach my promise. I'm just going to breach it for 40 years. I, Yahuwah, said, I will surely do it unto all this evil congregation that are gathered together against me. In this wilderness they shall be consumed, and there they shall die. And the men which Moses sent to search the land, who returned and made all the congregation to murmur against him by bringing a slander upon the land, even those men that did bring up the evil report in the land, died by the plague before Yahuwah. So those are the other 38 men who brought the evil report. Well, I don't know if there were 38. I don't know why I thought there were 40, but there were 40 days. But all but two, they died of a plague. But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of the men that went to search the land, lived still. And Moses told these sayings unto all the children of Israel, and the people mourned greatly. So Moses gives them this judgment, which we just read. And they rose up early in the morning, and they got them up into the top of the mountain, saying, lo, we be here, and we will go into the place which Yahuwah hath promised, for we have sinned. See, now they're going, oh, you know what? The judgment comes. Their punishment has been pronounced. And now they're going, oh, we want to go in now. And Moses said, wherefore now do you transgress the commandment of the Lord? But it shall not prosper. Go not up, for Yahuwah is not among you, that you be not smitten before your enemies. So he's saying, don't go now, because he's not with you, and you will be killed. For the Amalekites and the Canaanites are there before you, and you shall fall by the sword, because you are turned away from Yahuwah. Therefore, Yahuwah will not be with you. But they presumed to go up unto the hilltop. Nevertheless, the Ark of the Covenant of Yahuwah and Moses departed not out of the camp. Then the Amalekites came down, and the Canaanites which dwelt in that hill, and smote them, and discomfited them even unto Hormah. So regardless, they wanted to go up anyway, so some of them went up, and they were killed, just as the word was given to them. And Yahweh spoke unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When you become not unto the land of your habitation, which I give unto you, and will make an offering by fire unto Yahuwah, a burnt offering, a sacrifice, in performing a vow, or in a freewill offering, or in your solemn feast, to make a sweet savor unto Yahuwah of the herd or of the flock, then shall he that offereth his offering unto Yahuwah bring a meat offering of a tenth deal of mingled with flour, and a part of a hin of oil, and the fourth part of a hin of wine for a drink offering. Thou shalt prepare with the burnt offering a sacrifice for one lamb. Or for a ram, you shall prepare a meat offering, 2 tenths deals of flour mingled with a third part of a hin of oil. And a drink offering thou shalt offer the third of a hin of wine for a sweet savor unto Yahuwah. And when thou preparest a bullock, or for a burnt offering, or for a sacrifice, and performing a vow or a peace offering unto Yahuwah, then shall he bring a bullock, a meat offering of 3 tenths deals of flour mingled with a half hin of oil. And, it looks like we're getting back into some of the sacrificial rite here. And a lot of this is repetitious, but we will get through it. And we're in Numbers chapter 15 and verse 9. And it says, He shall bring a bullock, a meat offering, 3 tenths deal of flour mingled with half a hin of oil. And thou shalt bring a drink offering, a half a hin of wine, an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto Yahuwah. Thus shall it be done for one bullock, and for one ram, and for a lamb or a kid, according to the number that you shall prepare, so shall you do to every one according to their number. All that are born of the country shall do these things after this manner, in the offering of an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto Yahuwah. If a stranger sojourn with you, or whosoever among you, be among you in your generations, and will offering an offer made by fire of a sweet savor unto Yahuwah, as you do, so he shall do. So the stranger that sojourn among you is one who becomes and start practices the faith of Israel. And so they become one, and they're able to bring offerings and so forth. They become, and it's like someone when they become part of his ecclesia today, they enter in by faith. They now are seated into that heavenly kingdom, that holy nation, the kingdom of God. And that is a spiritual kingdom, because there is no longer a cohesive mortal kingdom with boundaries on the earth, as was the nation Israel wandering in the wilderness, and for their short time in the land. And the only reason that the Yahuwah suffered them in the land after Judges was till the coming, because of the promised seed of the woman who would be the Messiah, that is Yahushua, was to be brought through the seed of David. And after that was completed, because they did the kingdom of Israel, after they had a king like the other nations, instead of Yahuwah, they were no longer the mortal kingdom of God on earth. They had strayed a long way off from his government by that time. But they murmured and they cried, and there you have the majority again ruled. The few faithful could not prevail. And we'll always find that time after time, nation after nation. I live in the land, the nation of the United States of America, which was once a federation of separate nation states. And it was began as a lamb-like government with lamb-like kingdom-like principles. And the principle was, one of the great principles was separation of church and state. The state was not an object of idolatry. The state was not the lawgiver, but the law was Yahuwah's law, the law of God, and it was embodied so much in the common law. But I wouldn't say that the common law was exactly the law of God, because His law was expressed and is expressed in His Word. But the principles that the nation were founded on were lamb-like, and that was the great principle, was that you shall love your neighbor as yourself, was embodied in the statement that all men are created equal, and therefore no man should have more rights than another man. But if all men are created equal, that means that that embodies the principle that you shall love your neighbor as yourself, in that you have to respect your neighbor's rights. So that's one of the lamb-like features of the final and second beast government, which I believe you'll find in the book of Revelation. And there are a few other lamb-like principles that founded the great nation that was the United States of America before the Civil War. Because after the Civil War, it became a nationalist, fascist nation, which has developed more and more nationalist and fascist character as time goes on, to where now it speaks more like a dragon than like the lamb-like beast that it was founded as, and those principles which it was founded upon. And, you know, the reason I touch on these things is, well, because the kingdom of God is a kingdom. And so much of what the whole book is about is the kingdom of God and the demonstrations of the mortal kingdom of God, which we're going through here now as we visit the children of Israel, as it's revealed to us in the Old Testament in His Word. And that is what our master, Yahushua, preached. He said, "Repent, for the kingdom is at hand." And He also said, "Seek first," or "put first, His kingdom and His righteousness before everything else, and then He will take care of you, and everything you need will be added to you." And what a promise that is, that you don't have to seek after things. You don't have to carry the heavy burden of providing everything that you need for your life, but you seek first His kingdom, and to do what's right in His sight, His righteousness, and that He provides all of your needs. What a wonderful promise. Okay, Numbers 15, verse 14. "If a stranger sojourn with you, or whosoever be among you in your generations, and will offer an offering made by fire of sweet savor unto Yahuwah, as you do so shall he do. One ordinance shall be both for you of the congregation, and also for the stranger that sojourneth among you." And you know, that's one of the ordinances, or one of the lamb-like features that this nation was also pronounced, founded upon, is that there was one law for everybody. Everybody was equality under the law. That's the lamb-like principle that's being expressed here in one of the great. You know, it also goes with all men are created equal. You love your neighbor as yourself. And everyone has equal rights, and there's God-given rights. The rights come from our Creator, that's expressed, and that you have one law for the stranger that sojourns among you. So if someone comes in, you don't have a different law for him because he's from somewhere else. But if he sojourns among you, that he is to be treated like one of you. So that's another one of those lamb-like principles. So one ordinance shall be both for you of the congregation, those that are born among you, also for the stranger that sojourneth with you, an ordinance forever in your generations. As you are, so shall the stranger be before Yahuwah. One law and one manner shall be for you and for the stranger that sojourneth with you. And Yahuwah spoke unto Moses, saying, "Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when you come into the land whither I bring you." So now, you know, they've got 40 years to learn to start practicing this law and to teach it to their children. And when they come into the land, this is what they're supposed to know, so that they don't get into the, 40 years from thence, from this time, the children that grow up in the wilderness, they're never going to have known Egypt. And by that time, 40 years, those few that did know Egypt while they were children, they will pretty much forget about Egypt, and they will never say, let us go back to the land of Egypt. He says, speak to the children of Israel, and say unto them, when you come into the land whither I bring you, then it shall be that when you eat bread of the land, you shall offer up a heave offering unto Yahuwah. You shall offer up a cake of the first of your dough for a heave offering, as you do the heave offering in the threshing floor, so shall you heave it. Of the first of your dough you shall give unto Yahuwah a heave offering in your generations. And if you have erred and not observed all these commandments which Yahuwah has spoken unto Moses, even all that Yahuwah hath commanded you by the hand of Moses, from the day that Yahuwah commanded Moses henceforth among your generations, then it shall be, if aught be committed by ignorance, without the knowledge of the congregation, that all the congregation shall offer one young bullock for a burnt offering, for a sweet savor unto Yahuwah, with his meat offering and his drink offering according to the manner, and one kid of the goats for a sin offering. So they could just offer a blanket offering for people who trespassed in ignorance. Basically, that's what I get out of this here. And the priest shall make an atonement for all the congregation of the children of Israel, and it shall be forgiven them, for it is ignorance, and they shall bring their offering, a sacrifice made by fire unto Yahuwah, and their sin offering before Yahuwah for their ignorance. And it shall be forgiven all the congregation of the children of Israel, and the stranger that sojourneth among them, seeing all the people were in ignorance. And if any soul sin through ignorance, then he shall bring a she-goat of the first year for a sin offering, and the priest shall make an atonement for the soul that sinneth ignorantly. And when he sinneth by ignorance before Yahuwah, to make an atonement for him, it shall be forgiven him. You shall have one law for him that sinneth through ignorance, both for him that is born among the children of Israel, and for the stranger that sojourneth among them. But the soul that doeth aught presumptuously, whether he be born in the land or stranger, the same reproacheth Yahuwah, and that soul shall be cut off from among his people, because he despised the word of Yahuwah, and has broken his commandment, that soul shall be utterly cut off, his iniquity shall be upon him. So for anyone who knowingly and continually practices sin, willfully, they're to be cut off from the children of Israel. I would imagine they're to be cast out of the camp, and perhaps they can go back to Egypt or wherever. And while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man that gathered sticks on the Sabbath day. And they found him gathering sticks brought unto Moses and Aaron and unto the congregation. And they put him in ward, because he was not declared what should be done to him. And Yahuwah said unto Moses, the man shall surely be put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones without the camp. Now this is where the unbeliever would bring an accusation against Yahuwah. I mean, how harsh, how unfair. All the man was doing was gathering a few sticks on the Sabbath. Well, you know what? Who can know the mind of a man more than our Heavenly Father, than the Creator of the man? He knows all things. And would he make a... And here we're talking about, we have a determination. Those who sin ignorantly. Say he didn't know it was a Sabbath, he just stumbled out and he was looking for something, and he sinned ignorantly. Well, then he would be pardoned, wouldn't he? And so we have to presume, because... And it's not assuming, that's different than assuming. We're presuming, because of what we read previously, that a righteous judgment is made here. That this man did not regard the law, did not care that it was the Sabbath. He's going to go out and gather sticks whenever he wants to, because he wants to. And so, the judgment is from Yahuwah. The man shall surely be put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones without the camp. Now see, Yahuwah, I mean, the Creator Almighty can make this kind of determination anytime he wants, because he is the one who determines the length of your life. He determines when a child dies in the womb. He determines when someone dies or how long someone is going to live, because everyone already has the death sentence because of the corruption of the seed of Adam. We are all born with a death sentence. So our Heavenly Father is not a murderer. It is we who were condemned by the sin of our great-great-grandfather, Adam, who corrupted himself with sin, and he corrupted his seed after him, because the seed was in him when he sinned. So we're all born in corruption, and we're all born called the children of disobedience because of the corruption we're born with. We are born with a death sentence, a corrupted seed that will not live forever, as he would have done had he not sinned. Of course, that's not what happened, and that would never have happened, because our Heavenly Father knew all things before they came to pass. We'll be back after these messages.